All right, this is Film Study with Ken McCusick, episode 11, as we look back to the Week 5 Ravens victory, 30-17, over the Oakland Raiders. Let's get started with welcoming Ken McCusick. Ken, how you doing?
Life is good, Josh. How about you?
Doing okay. I mean, it's a Ravens victory, and that was kind of played as what we all know as Ravens football.
That's right. I mean, it's been kind of a back-and-forth schizophrenic season so far, but first two games, they had the lead. They never relinquished it. And this game, same deal again. Of course, the two other games, they were down a combined 42-0 at halftime. Never had any turnover pressure they could put on the other teams, Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. But this was Ravens football the way it was meant to be played.
Yeah, we're really going to break down the defense today. But it was just, as a Ravens fan, it was great to start with a big pass real early, get Joe some yardage, and then the Ravens defense does best when there's already points in the board and you already had that lead. And the Ravens got that lead really fast and let the defense do what they do best.
Yeah, big impressive drive to start the game. I guess it was only really five plays, so it wasn't even that long. But to move the ball like butter through hot knife through butter was really nice. And you know, they've done that a few times in terms of opening up a game or a season with a long pass. I remember the year that Anquan Boldin got here, they started with a long pass. They started with a long pass to Torrey Smith, I think, in 2012. And, you know, it's nice when they'll do that to open up a game like that. They certainly sent the message. And for the game, I this is just an interesting topic. We're going to talk about the defense today. But Wallace averaged 44.3 yards per reception. He had three for 133. All other Ravens receivers combined in the game, 5.6 yards per reception.
All right. That works. I was just excited that, what did it take, 15 seconds for Joe to out-throw his numbers from London?
Yeah, that's true.
The one pass to, who was that, Macklin down the side? Or was that Wallace?
Wallace
was that first pass. But, yeah, that's what we know as Ravens defense. And Ravens defense plays best when the other quarterback has some pressure and can't just run with the clock and has to try to make some moves.
That's right. So you force the other quarterback into some mistakes. They didn't get a lot of mistakes out of Manuel, but they did get mistakes in general out of the Raiders in this game. They've got a few. They got a misconnected pass that could have been a touchdown. They had another fumble that was returned for a touchdown, of course. They had a couple holding penalties, which were a big deal. The sacks give you the kind of variation that's necessary in order to get the other team off the field. And then Manuel had 13 incomplete passes among just 26. So those are the kind of plays that help you get the other team off the field. And the Ravens defense produced enough of them.
The Ravens definitely came in with a game plan specifically designed for Manuel, for a young quarterback. At a couple times they rushed seven guys, and it didn't hurt them.
Yeah, that's true. They rushed seven, and they didn't get to the quarterback on either of those plays. So if we look back to them, both occurred in the third quarter on the same drive within four plays of each other. So it's actually one was three plays after the other. So the first one was a ball that you may remember. Weddle was in trail coverage of Cook on a crossing route. The Ravens rushed seven. The ball was out quickly, and Manuel misfired low to Cook. And I think Gannon actually said on the air that he thought Cook should have dove for the ball or whatever and made a play on it, it would have been a hard catch. And anyway, that went incomplete, and the Ravens got a little fortune on that one because it could have been a big gain if it were caught. And then three plays later, the Ravens again brought seven, and the Raiders actually got it stopped up for ample time and space that time. So the first one was ball out quick, as I've scored it. We've talked about what that means. It's not really an ample time and space opportunity. The second one was. It was an ample time and space opportunity with cover zero on the back end, meaning nobody has safety help. So everybody was on their own in man coverage. And very fortunately, Manuel overthrew Crabtree, who had beaten Humphrey on a double move in the end zone. So neither of those seven-man rushes ended up hurting the Ravens. Both were incomplete passes. And if you look at break it down by numbers, and I encourage you to go to the website and take a look, the Ravens' 5-6 and 7-man pass rush all put together were just about the same as the 4-man pass rush, 5 yards with 5-plus pass rushers and 4 yards per play with 4-plus four pass rushers. So not a lot of difference, frankly, by the number of rushers. They did do some interesting things with scheme, however.
Good, because that was my follow-up question, is with the scheme and the pass rush, did we after watching the Ravens, and you said they did some stuff differently, did we learn anything on how they're adjusting, I guess, to after all these injuries and a new defense almost?
Yeah, well, they definitely have less talent on the inside now. We're going to get some of that a little lately, in particular in order to compress the pocket with either Urban Williams being out, the backups just aren't as good, and it's to be expected that they're going to have to do some other things to generate the same amount of pressure, and they probably will not be as successful rushing with just four. So Pease did some things in this game, and it's additionally being a quarterback who is not a starter, he's a backup, he has been in the league a while, but is still not that experienced as a quarterback. They did a lot of individual blitzes. In fact, they did 13 on 29 pass plays, which is a fairly good amount. That's blitzing a lot. And of those 13 individual blitzers, and those again are guys who come from off the line of scrimmage and at least as far out as the slot receiver, but 13 of those individual blitzes came from the secondary. So they had three from Jefferson, three from Webb, two from Weddle, and the secondary got two of the three sacks for the Ravens in the game. So as I define it, there are 6 of 29 rushes in the game that were deceptive, and Manuel had ATS just 11 times on his 29 dropbacks. So that's a very low percentage. What does it work out to, about 36-37% when right. The normal would be right around 50.
All right, well, that are some good signs that hopefully as the next few weeks are against also lesser opponents in theory, hopefully we can see that continue.
Yeah, so there should be some carryover of game plan, I would think, to continuing to try and find maybe a few different wrinkles every week, but something different to put pressure on young quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky, we're going to get a nice... this is a good Monday night game to watch tonight, because Mitch Trubisky will get his first start tonight against the Vikings. The Vikings will put pressure on him, and the Ravens should try and figure out what are they doing effectively, and try and do that plus something else new to him next week.
Right, and... I mean, not only that, as a Raven fan, you should be watching the Monday Night Football tonight, because that's our next two opponents. We got the Bears and the Vikings.
There you go.
If you want to see two teams that are struggling and not having great seasons, and then we get to see them soon, at least check them out tonight.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, but there's something the Ravens did a good job with Manuel, but they again, struggled to stop the running game. And I know it's Marshawn Lynch. I know he's a career running back, and he's put up many good numbers, but it seemed like a time where that was the guy to shut down, and they really struggled to stop him.
Yeah, they did have some troubles against the run in this game, and it was a little bit different than against the Steelers. In fact, it was a lot different. They really went with a downhill running game to generate 9 plays of 6-plus yards, and they had 12 against the Steelers, and a lot of those were off-the-edge plays that went for even more yardage. So it was a worse game against the Steelers than it was against the Raiders. But the Raiders nonetheless had a lot of success generating some space on the inside, some holes, largely led by Osemele, who had a terrific game. He just did a lot of really... He had a holding penalty later in the game that helped the Ravens, but he had a lot of big blocks on the run that helped generate some yardage. What was nice is that the Ravens didn't allow any really big breakaways. The longest run that the Raiders had was 14 yards, even though they were getting a lot of breakaways into level two, as evidenced by all the 6-plus yard runs. But they didn't have that one that went for 35 or 40 or 50 yards. The longest was 14. Reminds me of a game where the Ravens played in Seattle a few years ago, and they lost that one, but Lynch had, I think, over 100 yards rushing in that game, but his longest run of the day was 8 yards. And this game is similar. His longest run of the day was 9 yards. So they had trouble. They need to figure out how they're going to address that. But once they had a big lead, it became apparent that the Oakland wasn't going to be able to run the ball to catch up. And they only had 2 of those runs happen after the first 20 minutes of the game. So the first 20 minutes were pretty bad. After that, they did a pretty good job of shutting down the run.
How much is that a Brandon Marshall or Brandon Williams loss?
Brandon Williams' loss is enormous and felt. And what made it worse was Carl Davis went down in this game. So
right.
he was providing some addition. Yeah, he went down early. Only played 7 snaps. And he would have been a primary guy to help with that. And then it came down to playing Pierce and Henry on most plays together. They didn't put in Ricard for too much. He only just played a handful of snaps again. although I think he'll get more serious rotational play. And they also got some play out of the Chris Wormley, who had his first NFL start. But right. Yeah.
Well, let's start going through the players individually, and let's start with Chris Wormley, because that was the surprise going into the game, was that he was listed as active.
Sure, it really was a surprise, because Bronson Cafusi got his first start against the Steelers. He played 21 total snaps, 18 run, and 3 pass. So we really hadn't gotten an idea yet of how Cafusi could impact the passing game. And so I thought he would get another week to go on. But he didn't generate a lot of pressure, didn't penetrate much against the run to stop those edges from being exploited by pulling players. And I think that might have been part of the decision-making into this, is that they decided they wanted somebody who could get a little bit more push inside, and they went with Wormley. Wormley had a good game, 13 snaps only. He got a pressure on his very first NFL pass rush snap, which is good to see. That was his only pressure of the game. He also was close and provided some front side containment, though, on the Suggs sack, which happened in the fourth quarter. So good game for Chris. No problem otherwise from him.
All right. You mentioned Davis going down after 7 plays, so I don't think there's much to say about him. But William Henry was out there a bunch.
Yeah, William Henry led the team in snaps, with defensive line in snaps with 40. And he's now, as we're going to get to later, I'm just going to give it away right now, Willie Henry is my choice as the defensive MVP for the second consecutive week. And he really played extremely well. 22 pass snaps he had. He had a quarterback hit, a pressure, 2 passes defensed. And I think what was most impressive about all that is that his 2 passes defensed came when he was double teamed. So normally, passes defense can be mitigated, thwarted by the finishing a block against that player. But they had these double teams going, and Henry was able to size it up, take about a half step back and leap at exactly the right time. His timing seems to be very good with that, and get the first pass defense, which he could have intercepted himself and almost did, and the second one, which, hey, any ball you tip is a chance for a deflection and interception, but didn't happen either. Anyway, very impressive game. He's now played 40, 28, and 40 snaps in his 3 weeks. He's taken over as the primary third down lineman for the Ravens, the way Jernigan used to be and Guy occasionally last year. He played 9 of the 13 third down snaps versus the Raiders. And it's really hard to believe that this guy had to sit an entire season with a Ravens defensive line that was 5 deep and never got hurt last year. So great to have him. The depth has proven very useful, and he's been very effective against the passing game in particular.
All right, and then the other guy who I guess got ran over a bunch would be Michael Pierce.
Yeah, he had some trouble, and you're correctly gathering it probably from some of the run discussion we've had, that he got handled on the inside fairly easily in the run game. He only had 1 tackle. That's often where he makes a lot of contribution, is to make some Oklahoma tackles near the line of scrimmage. The Oklahoma drill is you get off 1 lineman to make a tackle with 1 arm. He did not do that in this game, just 1 tackle and 23 run snaps. He did not have a pressure in 16 pass snaps, so that's a down game for Michael Pierce. Still probably the Ravens' best defensive lineman remaining, but needs to come back.
Right, so that's where we've got some injury issues. And has there been any news after with the Davis injury, or any news on Williams coming back?
I have no new news on Williams. Harbaugh did have a press conference today that say that West was out. I didn't see what out meant, because it was 10 seconds after he'd said it, apparently, that one of the other people put it up on Twitter. And I want to actually go back and listen to the interview to see what Harbaugh says about it. I imagine West has an Achilles problem and maybe out for the year, if that's what they're talking about. But there was no word on Brandon Williams' availability, and I did not hear anything said about Davis's availability. But this would typically be today or tomorrow would be the day that we would hear what's going on.
Terrence West re-injured his calf Sunday, but good news on his MRI. He's expected to miss some time, but not an extended absence.
Oh, fantastic. That is good news.
So,
All right. You got anything on Carl Davis? I'll let you look for it the next time.
I'll check it out. I'll look that up while you can explain to me. I'll look this up when you explain to me about... We keep talking every week about Osweisner and Correa. Well, it was a clear difference this week with 36 snaps going to your boy Peanut.
Yes, that's right. So he appears to have won the game now. He had 36 snaps. He only Kemalai Correa only played one. So there's not a competition anymore, it doesn't appear, or at least there wasn't for this opponent, which is a possibility. It's just opponent-driven. That being the case, if I were to choose a particular opponent for which I would have made the choice, it wouldn't have been this one. So you know, the Raiders present more of a power front, and Lynch in particular is a bigger back who would require a bigger linebacker to tackle typically, and Correa is that guy. Onwuso is not, so I would have expected this would be a game they might continue to share time. Didn't happen, and Peanut made the big play right at the beginning when he stripped Cook of the football, and Jimmy Smith had it bounce right into his hands and ran it back for the touchdown. So he did his part just with that play. Otherwise, he had five tackles. Two of those were run stuffs. That's not exceptional for an inside linebacker, not in 36 snaps, certainly. But he didn't have a negative event in coverage that I noted for him, so I thought pretty positive outing for him. Just not as good as the game he had against the Steelers.
Okay. Well, that's good to see that come to shape. But all right, CJ Mosley, he did not seem to have a good day.
No, really not. The Raiders consistently got a hat on him in level two when they were effectively running the ball. So you know, one of the things I try and do when I'm putting together a set of plays like that is to figure out what's in common going correct or is in common going wrong, in this case for the Ravens, on such plays. And a few things set up, and one of them was that Osemele was dominating, but the other one was that they were consistently getting a hat, one of the linemen, into level two to take Mosley out of the play. And they also had some problems with edge players getting taken out by skill position players, which you don't like to see. Now, they were still running inside the tackles for the most part, but those guys still were getting kicked out by tight ends on several occasions. So if you look at it, Mosley was one of the problems. He had six tackles. Only two of those were run stuffs, and that's a low total for him since he plays every single snap. He didn't have a bevy of negative coverage events as he has had in past weeks, but didn't have the great run game this time.
Okay. The doghouse. It seemed that it took Terrence West getting injured to bring Alex Collins out of the doghouse. What's it going to take for Bowser? He's in the doghouse. He didn't play much.
That's, boy, Bowser is a bad name if you want to be on the Ravens and remind people that you belong there. Yeah, eight more snaps. He's played just 22 snaps over the last 3 weeks, beginning with his really poor performance in Oakland. The poor performance was in London against the Jags. He didn't make my notes or register any defensive statistic on the score sheet in eight snaps. But the fact that he's playing so little when there is more opportunity at outside linebacker is bothersome. Now, the additional outside linebacker opportunity is created by the fact that Pease is using an outside linebacker to rush from the inside on most passing situations. So they'll often have three on the field, and yet it's still they're having a lot of trouble getting Bowser in. So when he did play, it was usually on a passing down. He'd play on the outside, and Za'Darius Smith would move to the inside to rush from there, and that's how they used him when they did.
That's the jersey I decided to invest in this year. So I'd like him to come out of the doghouse. Any chance the fact that Tim Williams had a bad day would help push Bowser out?
You know, honestly, I think there probably is a chance. Tim Williams had a bad day, and you know, they play two different positions in theory. One plays a rush linebacker, and one plays a Sam linebacker. But Judon could kind of play either, and Za'Darius Smith probably can rush from either as well. So you know, there is some flexibility there. And Tim Williams, he had two nice bull rushes on Donald Penn, and Donald Penn is a good left tackle who doesn't allow a lot of pressure. He allowed a sack to Suggs, and Tim Williams twice bulled him. Once in the first quarter, once in the third quarter, on just five pass rush snaps. So that's nice, but here's the downside. On the play that went for a 22-yard pass, and this was one where Manuel was flushed right from the pocket, and the entire Ravens defensive line chased him down, Tim Williams needs to be the backside containment on that because he was on the far offensive left side running, you know, on the backside of the play. He needed to contain Manuel in that play and not allow an extended pocket to occur, or at least pressure it if it did. But Manuel got free to the left again, and that gave him time to find, I think it was Roberts on the play for a 17-yard pass plus five yak for 22 total. So plays like that are what get you into the doghouse, and he was immediately removed from the game, and he did not return, which I thought was significant. There were still about 25 snaps or so left in the game, maybe a little bit less, maybe 20, and he did not return after that. So I think it's probably significant.
Right. The jersey I should have invested in would have been a Judon jersey, because he looked good yesterday. He looked good even in coverage yesterday. I know he at least had a cover tight in the end zone.
Yeah, he did. The play you're mentioning, I think, I'm having trouble with the words too, is Cook ran a nice, almost like a wheel route down to the sideline, and Judon had him covered very nicely. You really notice when Judon is in coverage how long his arms are. He's a tall guy and had very long arms, and he was right there. The ball was overthrown, and if it hadn't been overthrown, he might have picked it off because he was right in the right position. The other play he had was started in the third quarter. He was covering Roberts. Now, how did that happen? Roberts is a wide receiver and a very fast guy, but when the Ravens have only four defensive backs on the field and the Raiders put a slot receiver on, normally the Ravens would probably like to go to the nickel, but in this case they left Judon on. He moved out to cover the slot receiver. It was a little quick out to the left side to Roberts, and he not only came in and knocked the ball loose, but he also took Roberts down to the ground hard for good measure. And I like to see that always. When you do both things necessary to break up that play and give the guy a good solid hit while you're doing it.
Yeah, that's good. And let's move on to, speaking of hitting, Zadarius Smith, who was rushing.
Yeah, so he had three pressures in 23 snaps. Didn't do anything specifically impressive in the run game. He had five tackles. They were all on plays of 5+ yards. When I talk about run stuffs, those are going to be shorter yardage gains where a player is tackling somebody short of the yardage that the offense would like to gain on the play. So, for example, on the first down, the offense wants to gain 45% of the yardage. So they have to get 5 yards in order to meet that characteristic. And Zadarius had tackles that were all 5+ yards from the line of scrimmage. So those are not going to typically be stuffs.
All right. And then finally, for the linebackers, we've got your favorite guy on the defense, the guy who, if he doesn't make your defensive top three, you cancel the segment of defensive top stars, Terrell Suggs.
I do love Suggs. It's been a long time. 40 snaps in this game, had a pressure, and that actually led to Henry's quarterback hit, which was on the last offensive play for the Raiders. He had a quarterback hit himself, and that was the play that resulted in Cook's fumble, and then he had a sack early in quarter four. So very nice game, 21 snaps as a pass rusher. You are expected to produce on the outside. He did nothing against the Steelers, so it was really nice to see him have a bounce-back game and perform well.
Suggs, we all like Suggs, and the fact that he struggled so poorly against the Steelers, it was nice to have a good bounce back.
Sure.
The secondary, I think, overall, the secondary we were happy with. They kind of handled, and well, they covered a little better and only allowed the short stuff for the most part. But how about Jimmy Smith? He didn't play much, but he did get a fumble return.
Yeah, so Jimmy Smith played the very first series of the game he was in there. Played a total of 7 snaps on the game, but he played the first 3. And on those snaps, he looked okay to me, but obviously he didn't feel okay to himself. And the third snap was the one they picked up the fumble and ran in for the touchdown. Well, after that, apparently, and the word is from Harbaugh in the interview segment, was that he knew he couldn't really continue with the Achilles being the way it was, and he had to sit out. And he came back only for something I've never seen from the Ravens, a 4-cornerback dime alignment. I'll say I've never seen it. I haven't seen it this year. We've seen it a long time ago. But it normally, when you play the dime, you have 6 defensive backs, and that includes 3 safeties, 1 big guy in the box, and then 2 deep safeties, as well as 3 corners. But they went to a 4-corner dime alignment this time. Some of that was leaning on the versatility of Lardarius Webb to move deep into the secondary, and as we're going to talk about Jefferson, let's just jump to him right now, is that one of those really set up Jefferson's sack, because they used Jefferson up at the line of scrimmage decoying on a slot receiver, and then he rushed the passer from there and took Manuel down quickly from the blind side for an 8-yard loss.
All right. continuing with Brandon Carr, who seemed to be the guy who that got beat a few times. I'm blanking on the Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree kind of seemed to break his ankles a little bit.
I don't really blame Carr for what happened. Okay, so Carr played every snap. And he allowed his first touchdown as a Raven this game, which was the 41-yard TD to Crabtree, which really on a busted containment again. Za'Darius Smith was inside. He got pressure on Manuel, but Manuel spun free and got out to the right, rolling a little bit, which essentially creates a secondary ample time and space opportunity for Manuel. And then he was able to find Crabtree behind the defense on the right side in the end zone. So what I'll say about this is that Brandon Carr is a press corner without truly exceptional top-end speed. So he's there to disrupt a route at the line of scrimmage, and then after that he uses the boundary well, but he's not great about following a receiver around the field. He doesn't really truly have makeup speed, so most receivers can be able to outrun him over time. Can't really blame him for that play, and I also don't blame him for the 22-yard pass to Roberts, which we described earlier. That's the one Tim Williams got pulled over. Right. And Brandon Carr was in trail position on that as well. And anytime you get Brandon Carr trailing you across the middle of the field, I think you basically, the opposing quarterback has what they want. Carr is going to be best when he's on the edge, outside the numbers, and using that boundary as an extra defender.
All right. With Eric Weddle, when I think of the game, I think of the big hit he got late in the game to knock the ball out of the guy's arms.
Yeah, that was a big one. Oh, that was a very nice, violent hit. He had about three good plays in this game, and he missed a couple tackles that honestly were fairly small yardage impacts. So he missed some tackles in level two that probably cost the Ravens a total of about 10 or 12 yards, but not the kind of yardage you can cost with a missed tackle. You miss a tackle as a safety, it can be 40 more yards and a touchdown, but that didn't happen in this game. He missed a couple tackles against the run where, you know, he's working against much bigger men and wasn't able to make the tackle. He drew a holding call on Patterson. We don't put enough value, generally, as fans on those kind of things. But whenever you can draw a hold, that's the kind of high variation play the defense needs to get off the field. So that's good. And he had other times when he was in good bracket coverage. And what else did I want to say about? He had the PD. You mentioned that. I think that's about it. He did miss a tackle that allowed Manuel to get the first down yardage necessary near the goal line that did end up being a touchdown. So he got the first down yardage. He would, maybe could have been stopped at the four. Manuel got the ball to the three instead. That was a first down, and they ran the ball in on the next play without the Ravens being able to change the defense.
Right. Yeah. So with Smith hurt, that meant a lot more playing time for Za'Darius Webb.
Yeah, Za'Darius Webb got a lot of playing time, but honestly, it's Marlon Humphrey on the outside who got most of his snaps. So Humphrey only missed one snap for the game. He played 53. It was his first NFL start. So they started very oddly in the beginning with Carr playing slot, which I don't like. I don't think that's a good position for him at all. But Webb may be also hurt, and that may be the reason why they decided to do it. And then they had Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey on the outside. And that only lasted three plays until Smith decided he was too hurt to continue with the Achilles after he ran back the touchdown, and then Humphrey took over at right cornerback for the whole rest of the game, which is Smith's regular position. So he did miss a tackle on Crabtree that caused 11 yaks, so that was something. He did lose coverage of Crabtree, and I think we talked about this one early, where Crabtree put a double move on him, but the Ravens basically failed to get home with seven-man pressure on that play, and should have been a pitch-and-catch TD. It was overthrown, fortunately, and Humphrey retains his clean slate as far as touchdowns go, so life is good there. I'm very excited about Marlon Humphrey as a player. Jimmy Smith may sit out a week now because of what's going on with his ankle, or maybe more, and I think the Ravens have a very good replacement in Humphrey. I'm concerned about depth, but I think they have a very good, you know, first line of replacement with Humphrey.
Oh, that's good. The secondary seemed to do a little more on the pass rush side in this game. I'm not sure if it was more or this time it was just effective with both Jefferson and Levine getting sacks.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Anthony Levine had his first career sack, and all he did, he didn't blitz on the play. He just stood up in the B gap, threatened to blitz, and then actually did. Threatened to rush the passer, and then actually did. So that's not a, he's a declared pass rusher at that point. He's not a blitzer. And he rushed uncontested, took Manuel down for a sack of 8. It was the first he's had in 6 NFL seasons, even though he's been on the field a fair amount in dime packages. You figure he might have accumulated 1, but they're using him in a lot of ways this year and getting a lot of value out of his limited opportunities. So dime remains very effective for the Ravens this year, particularly in terms of both sacks and turnovers as a percentage of total plays, and it's exciting to see him do so well.
Great. Well, that seems like a good time to now go into your defensive stars of the game.
Sure. Okay. So you're gonna go with me this week, or
sure?
I
can go with you this week.
Okay. So number 3 for me is Terrell Suggs. That really happy with his pass rush game. I've already talked about it.
Right, and he had to be in there somewhere. My number 3 is Ladarius Webb, specifically for the block on the Smith fumble return.
Okay. You know what? Good point.
I like to see a player that goes above and beyond, and that's something where a lot of times you'd see the player kind of fall back and watch that develop. I like to see Webb get out in front and help out.
Yeah, it was. And Manuel's not a small guy, so and Webb is. So for him to put the block on Manuel that breaks him free was really nice. So I agree, that was a great play. My number 2 guy is Jimmy Smith. So he only played 7 snaps, but to pick up the fumble and run it back was the biggest single defensive play of the game by far. And I thought, given the relatively modest defensive effort across the board, you know, there just wasn't a lot of bold relief standing out. So he was the guy I picked.
My number 2, I shared with Jefferson and Levine for their sacks.
Okay,
I can kind of combine them. Yeah. Especially Levine, it was his first career, so.
Right. I love it when the secondary gets sacks, and then I don't. And the I don't is that it kind of means you have to scheme for pressure when they're getting sacks. So the last team, the situation that the Ravens had in 2007, they lost every member of the secondary. When I refer to that year, I call it as the secondary of dying men. There's a scene from Gone with the Wind where you look from up in the air and you see just the enormity of all the injured men that are lying in the street. Well, anyway, the secondary just... Everybody was down in 2007. They were getting street corners to come in. But two guys, Jerome Sapp was the big one, got 2 sacks, and he was still leading the team in sacks in week 8. So that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
that was a lot of setup for that little story, wasn't it? I know we got no time limits on this show. It's nice that we don't have advertisers to answer to, but that was a lot of setup for that story.
That's right. We got all the time we need. All right, so that... Well, that brings to your number 1. You haven't so, that distracted from your number 1.
Okay, so now we rebuild it up. Number 1 right. is Willie Henry again. Maybe they forgot that I told them earlier. But terrific game as a pass rusher. Also contributed to 2 run stuffs, which I don't think I mentioned earlier. 2 tackles for loss. So great game from Willie Henry, and he's now become one of the most important linemen on the team.
Right, and my number 1 is Judon, because he's been just stepping up and really doing well. I enjoy seeing him back in coverage. He did good coverage in the end zone, and he also got a tackle for negative yards. So.
Okay, so you didn't give one to Peter Angelo, so the other team's announcer, or any of this other. So you're playing it straight this week.
Yeah, today was pretty straight. I couldn't come up with anything that the Raiders really did. So I figured I'd just leave it simple.
Okay.
I'm giving the Ravens credit. They actually won this game.
They did.
So let's get to the mailbag, because these guys ask much better questions than I can bring out. And again, that is if you go on Twitter and hashtag Film Study Ravens or Film Study Mailbag is what we will look for. Film Study Mailbag. So first one comes from at Dustin Cox. Once we get Williams back, do you think the starting line is Pierce, Williams, and Henry? Because Henry seems to be playing well.
Well, he really is playing well. Now, Henry is not a natural 5 tech. So could they use – I think what we'll see is we'll see a lot more of Henry still on passing downs. I don't think it will necessarily be definitely Williams or Pierce as it was earlier in the year when they used only 1 defensive lineman on a lot of – pass rush snaps. So I expect we'll continue to see one, but on a lot of those it will be Henry. And then Henry will get some other rotational play as well at defensive tackle. And frankly, Williams should not play all the snaps, and neither should Pierce. So doing some rotation there would be a good idea. And Henry's a very solid player.
All right, so that whole line you think will be rotations?
Yeah.
All right, at B-more B-22, what's up with Weddle? 3 big missed tackles for big gains. Is this just this game, or is it a sign of things to come?
Well, I got to admit, Weddle has not had a good tackling year, not nearly as good as he was last year. He still has some penchant for the big play. You know, we saw the interception, one-handed interception. It was against the Browns in week 2 that looked good. He did the 3 missed tackles in this game. It wasn't a lot of total yardage, but one of them was important. It was the one by the goal line where Manuel got the first down, and then the Ravens got stuck in the dime. You know, I'm not saying that his tackling isn't important, but he hasn't cost the Ravens a ton of yardage in that way, not yet. Is he getting older? Sure, he's getting older, and you always got to look to get younger. And right now, the Ravens are very old at safety. They were older when they had Webb and Weddle there. They addressed it partially with Jefferson, but I think they're going to have to look for a draft pick, probably of the developmental type, in the next draft or two.
All right, so you're blaming age, not the fact that Weddle now wears gloves.
No, I'm not blaming Weddle for the gloves.
All right, at JWoods2014 asks, should the Ravens cut Jimmy Smith for cap space now because of the emerging Hill and Marlon?
So Jalen Hill will be coming back from his injury, maybe be able to take over in the slot. Marlon Humphrey, you know, I've just praised as being a good replacement at right corner for Jimmy. I think that's true. I still think the Ravens have played so much better with Jimmy on the field. I think it would be difficult, if not impossible. And the other thing is a practical constraint. They've advanced a lot of money to Jimmy, which means they've paid him more bonus that then gets prorated. And so the cap hit for cutting it, I don't have it right on me here. I'll try and get that for the next show. But it would be very high, very expensive to cut him next year. So I'm sure they're not planning to. I'm sure they're trying to at least go 1 to 2 more years with Jimmy Smith, given how much money they've advanced him.
All right. And Jimmy Orr 21 asks, the pass rush seems to be struggling without the push up front from Brandon Williams. What can they do to fix this while he's out, and who is this run defense? Because it sure isn't the Ravens. So it's kind of 2 questions, both saying Brandon Williams is out. What do we do?
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to put it. Well, Brandon Williams certainly is the key to the run defense not being as good. The penetrations he gets, blow-up pulls, blow-up plays in the backfield. They can mess up the lead blocker, whether it's a fullback. They can mess up the runner himself. They can even mess up the handoff sometimes. And the Ravens miss it terribly on defense. They also miss some of the tackles he makes himself. So they definitely miss him on the run. Against the pass, he's off to a tremendous start in terms of a pass rush season with 7 pressures from the inside. It's just a ton in only a game and a half before he got hurt. So if he could come back and play anywhere near that level, the pass rush will take a big step forward, and the 4-man pass rush in particular would be a lot more effective. But the real question is, what can they do to fix it while he's out? And I think they did some of those things against the Raiders, and I think they're going to have to continue to do it against the next 3 quarterbacks, is to find ways to scheme for pressure that confuse as well as just overpower. The first 2 games, they were an overpowering defense. They had all the toys still available to them, and the front 3 were getting a tremendous amount of pressure that drove the pass rush. They don't have that anymore, and now they got to resort to more trickery to get it.
All right, and then finally we'll close out with Old X Dirt, who just seems to have a comment for you instead of a question. The touchdown to Crabtree in the 2nd quarter was a broken play, so he can't condemn them for giving up that play. The secondary is the strength of this defense. It'll be better when Jalen Hill gets healthy and spells Ladarius Webb for some snaps in the slot.
Yeah, I think he's making a good point. And first of all, I think he's exactly right on terms of the touchdown that Carr gave up. You can't expect Carr to cover somebody for that long on a busted play. And as far as Jalen Hill, I'm still very excited about what Jalen Hill brings to this team. He was the MVP in the preseason defensively for this team. Far and away the standout player, along with Urban. But Hill it wasn't just what he did in terms of plays, because that can often be a case of the other team's grocery baggers are throwing you the football, but Hill tracks the football extremely well in the air, and you rarely find that in a young slot corner. That's usually an experience thing. So I'm very excited about what he can do. I hope the injury doesn't have any long-term impact on him in terms of lost ability, because, you know, hamstrings can sometimes do that. But Lardarius Webb may have to give up some snaps in the slot. He has a lot of versatility value, and he certainly has depth value, but I think there is, as of right now, there'd be some good reason to give Hill at least a portion of snaps. And I didn't think this was possible, but the Ravens are rotating all over the secondary, which is very unusual. Teams don't normally do that. But I could see Harbaugh doing it at the slot as well.
All right. Well, that's interesting to watch. And again, something to see as the Ravens bounce back against the Raiders. Next three games are Bears, Vikings, Dolphins. Those teams do not have winning records right now. Do you think we continue to see this defense grow over those next 3 weeks?
Boy, I hope so. I mean, they've got some really nice opportunities here. The Vikings game will be a difficult one. It's on the road, and that's always hard. It's a quality opponent, even if it isn't a great quarterback, and we don't know if Sam Bradford will be back for that game or not. I guess he may be back tonight, for all I know, but we don't know if he'll be back. But they've also lost Dalvin Cook, too. Their top running back has been lost, so they'll probably be relying on Bradford anyway more. But they'll face Trubisky, and they'll face Jay Cutler, who is fossilized at this point in life. And so they have some chances to on short week schedules to beat some quarterbacks who are not all that impressive. And this is what the Ravens need. If they're going to make the playoffs, I really think they need to win these next three games.
Right. The Vikings are saying that Sam Bradford will start tonight. But who knows? With him, he's very injury-prone and could be banged up again when we see him in 2 weeks. But, man, this season will feel so much better if we can win a few of these and get... If we win these three and go to, a 6-2 instead of the frustrations of 2-2 after two bad losses, right. It'll look way different on paper.
Right. I mean, everything feels better after a game like this. Almost nothing went wrong against the Raiders. You know, the offense looked good in every way. The defense looked good in most ways. So, hey, I agree. 6-2 is where I'd love to be, and we'll see if we can get there.
All right, we wrapped up this defense in about 30 minutes. To get really detailed with this defense, we want to push people over to Russell Street Report to check out your writings.
Yeah, appreciate that. You can look for film study on Russell Street Report. A lot more detail, a lot of it tabular, and it's meant to go along with the Game Pass that you can get from the NFL for about $100 a year. They may even have a cheaper rate now available.
And free for PSL owners, right?
And free for PSL owners. That's correct. So if you know a PSL owner who's not using their Game Pass, you can also get it from them. So anyway, good product, and I highly recommend it. They're not paying me anything for this, but it's the way to follow my work easiest with quarter and time references. And follow me on Twitter at Film Study Ravens. And Josh, how do they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Soroka. I plug Section 336 at the end of every of these shows, which is my podcast in Baltimore sports. And instead of telling you what we're talking about this week, I'm going to tell you that you should go on over to facebook.com/Section 336, where every Monday night we go live at 7:30 p.m. and interact with you through the comment section. So you can, especially now with the postseason of baseball and the slower Baltimore sports time frame right now with really just the Ravens playing, you can really help guide the conversation to whatever direction you want through those comments in Facebook.
Life's good, Josh. Highly recommend Josh's show here. Josh, his brother and his brother-in-law do it, and it's a fun show, sometimes a little acerbic, but very good.
I don't know what that word means, so I'll take that as a compliment. And maybe I'll look that up, and I'll make sure to use that when describing Matt later tonight. So, all right, Ken, well, it's always fun after a Ravens victory, and we'll get to talk about the offense in just a day or two. Have a good night.
All right, you too.